it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. A little bit of a developing news situation with the Eagles visiting the Giants for Thursday Night Football coming up in like an hour and 15 minutes. We go to across the console where Wolchuk has your breaking news.
Yes, no Jalen Carter tonight for Philadelphia. They will be without their stud defensive tackle. He has a heel injury. He was supposed to go out there for pregame warmups, kind of test this out. He ended up saying hello to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and then talked with Howie Roseman and didn't even have the workout. So I guess on a short week, they said, nope, we're not going to do this. So a big loss, and hopefully the Giants can run all over him now.
This game is massive right here. I think the division is still doable for the Cowboys, but it's going to have to involve the Eagles coming back to earth in a way. And I think statistically that is predictable. But, man, they had such a great and fortunate run early in the season where they beat the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers. And now their schedule's not that tough. So who else could they lose to that maybe you consider them to be better than? I don't see Tyrone Tracy on the Giants inactive. So he's playing tonight. I don't see any offensive line. Oh, Evan Neal is out for the Giants, but I don't see any other offensive lineman out. So I guess Andrew Thomas is in, and that's got to be the path is running it against these Eagles. And the Giants obviously having success against the Philadelphia offense. That's something that I think we kind of expect now because of their front. But Joe Person covers the Panthers for The Athletic, and he joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good evening, Joe. How the heck are you out there?
What's going on?
Man, we're trying to figure out how confident we should be in a Cowboys dub here. I guess the point spread sitting at 3. Do you have a prediction for the game yet?
You know, I've watched the Panthers the last couple of years here. They'll follow up a good, promising outing with a bomb, a stinker. They did it just a couple weeks ago where they got their first win of the season. They crushed the Atlanta Falcons. And Michael Penix had a terrible game, so it was 30-0. You're thinking, okay, maybe they're figuring some stuff out. And then they go up to New England and they lose by about the same. They lose by 29 points. So, as you know, they've kind of win one, lost one, and then they win last week. They come from behind to beat Miami. I don't think they're going to beat Dallas. I don't think it's a great matchup for them. I think Dak is, they were able to dig out of a 17-0 hole last week because Tua didn't play particularly well. The Dolphins defense could not do anything to stop Rico Dowdle, as you guys certainly know. And I don't know, it was a very favorable matchup for the Panthers to be able to, heck the 17-point comeback matched their biggest comeback in team history. So, you know, you'd like to think they could build on it, but I've just seen, as I said, too many times where they just kind of, I mean, their longest, they haven't won more than two games in a row since Matt Rhule's second season. The first, they started 3-0 in 2021, and since then, it's been a whole lot of losses and an occasional two-game win streak.
Is the home field anything? I saw they're scoring 28 points, or is that just more a reflection of who they've played at home so far?
I think so. Yeah, they had the Falcons and the Dolphins, as I mentioned. I mean, Bryce Young has never won on the road. So, and again, I think he's only got 7 or 8 wins, period. So it's not like that big of a discrepancy. And he did win in Germany last year against the Giants, but that was a neutral field. It technically was a home game. All of which to say is the other thing we see here in Charlotte a lot is that the opposing team will come in and kind of take over the stadium. And it's not every week. You know, I don't mean to suggest that, but I don't need to tell y'all. I mean, the Cowboys, they bring people. They've got folks in every town and every NFL city. And so you got to be careful if you're the Panthers that you don't turn this into like the Star North.
How are they looking health-wise, Joe? Is this something where they might be down a starter on the offensive line?
Yeah, it doesn't look super good so far this week for their right tackle, Taylor Moten. He's missed the first 2 days of practice. He's got an elbow. I talked to him today, actually, and he said he's just kind of listening to the trainers. This is a guy who he had until last season. He had a pretty remarkable, a franchise-long Ironman streak that finally, for a position player, not a kicker or a long snapper. But so if he's close, he'll play, and they need him. I mean, that their third tackle, a guy named Yosh Nyman, is not very fleet of foot, struggles with speed rush, and you know, this is a team that they've spent a lot of money on their offensive line, especially in the interior last offseason, 2024. To protect Bryce Young, and they've done a pretty good job of that, but it would suffer without Taylor Moten.
Joe Person here covers the Panthers for The Athletic with you here on 105.3 The Fan.
So the rookie, Tet McMillan, we were kind of interested in him here during the draft when it comes to playing for the Cowboys. He hasn't found pay dirt just yet, but is he sort of meeting most of the expectations had for him?
For sure. He's legit. He and listen, they took a first-round wide receiver last year, albeit with the 32nd pick. They traded up with the Bills to get in there and get Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. And he's been a bit of a disappointment. Not Tetero McMillan. He's one of the guys that just he makes it look effortless. He plucks the ball with his hands. You know, you're not seeing any, like, you know, body catches. He runs real good routes. You know, he is not like straight ahead speed, like the fastest guy, but he is plenty fast enough. Yeah, it's weird. We talked to him about that today. You know, he's had all, you know, pretty great start to his career, but as you said, has not had a touchdown catch. And someone said, have you practiced your touchdown dance? And he said, no, I'm just going to wing it. Like, I kind of just want to get in there and taste it and go from there. But good player. He's clearly has the trust of Bryce Young. I don't know if you guys saw this at the draft, but it came out pretty quickly after they took him at number 8 that he and Bryce had worked out once during the pre-draft. That they're both Southern California guys. A lot of them go to these same places, and this was one called 3D QB out in Southern Huntington Beach, California. So the story goes, it's been confirmed by the Panthers folks, is after that workout, Bryce started, you know, pounding the table with Dan Morgan, the GM here, and Dave Canales to go get this receiver for him. And they went and did it.
Hey, Joe, you know, the Panthers have kind of struggled with the continuity with coaching staff and things like that. Do you feel like that David Tepper is a little bit more patient now with what's happened in the past? And then the job that maybe that Dave Canales has done, are they going to be a little bit more patient with him, give him some more time here?
I think so. I mean, they are working at that to try to get him more patient. Sorry, my dogs came in the room and threw off my train of thought. No, certainly he likes this. I mentioned Canales and Dan Morgan. The third sort of member of the power trio is a guy they hired away from the Chiefs, and he's their cap guy named Brant Tillis, and he's a sharp guy. He'll probably be a GM either here or somewhere else down the road. But Tepper really has a lot of faith in all three of those guys. I mean, you know, look, like, patience can only go so far in this business with these owners. And so I'd never say never, but, you know, it'll be interesting. Like, they got to get out. The thing they've got to accomplish this year, and I don't think they quite did it last year, is to get to the end of year 3 with Bryce Young, and you're either like, yep, he's our guy, or no, he's not. Sure. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, he has flashes, but you know, I think somebody told me, another executive from another team, I was doing a piece on Bryce a couple weeks ago, and he said it best. He said, Bryce, in his opinion, is the kind of quarterback you can win with. You won't necessarily win because of him. And I kind of thought he kind of hit it on the head.
Do you think watching Darnold and Baker have success elsewhere is going to make them maybe more patient with Bryce Young?
It's a great question. You'd think so, yeah. I mean, they were cycling through quarterbacks just as fast as they were head coaches there for a while. And, you know, they tried about every means possible. And there were some pretty short leashes. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, if he was the one exception that did not go anywhere else and become a, you know, one of the league's top passers. But certainly Darnold and Baker did. And heck, it's especially painful for the Panthers. I mean, they got to see Mayfield twice a year, and I'm not sure they've beaten them yet. In fact, I know they haven't. So it's sort of like the question with Canales. I mean, how patient can you be with a guy? Like, they're trying their best. Like, you know, I mentioned the two wide receivers they've drafted back-to-back years in the first round. They've built up their line. They've got the running game in pretty good order with Hubbard and Dowdle. So, I mean, at some point, it's on Bryce to you know, put games on his back, put the team on his back, and, you know, win some games because of what you did. And he had a couple of them last year. He did. But this year, turnovers have been an issue with him. He played well the second half against Miami, but a lot of that was handing the ball off to Rico Dowdle.
So how big of a storyline is Rico versus his former team? He certainly caught the attention of the locker room with his buckle up comment postgame.
It's been fun. I love that kind of stuff. Like, and I mean, none of it really means anything, right? But I cover the Falcons years ago. I'm dating myself, but the Dirty Birds, when they went to the Super Bowl with Jamal Anderson and Eugene Robinson, all these guys, and that team would talk so much junk, and it was Ray Buchanan was a corner. I remember at the Super Bowl in Miami, Ray Buchanan getting into it with Shannon Sharp, who was with the Broncos. It was just fun. It's like you don't hear about as much of that these days. Everyone, you know, they have media handlers, and they're so polished, and they put their guards up, and they don't say anything all that interesting. So I have welcomed Rico Dowdle spicing things up for the last week or so.
Yeah, we certainly enjoyed it. Speaking of spicing things up or talking junk, what happened with that Panthers podcast shutting it down last week? Was that a local story as well? Are fans and media kind of getting fatigued by this deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you're talking about. It wasn't a huge story here locally that I picked up on, but they're, you know, this team, you know, I have described their fan base as being sort of small but mighty. I mean, they are loyal. Like, we have some markets with the Athletic that, you know, that haven't done real well for us on the NFL side. Mm-hmm. And it's not because our writers were bad or the teams were bad. It's just the fans were, like, you know, a little bit more, you know, wishy-washy, so to speak. And some of it too is like the good newspaper in that town or good shows like y'all's. Anyway, I digress. The point is, the Panthers, you know, they don't. It's been a long, tough road here. Like, since David Tepper bought the team, and that really is the inflection point. They have had 7 straight losing seasons. They have not gone to the playoffs since 2017. Which was right at the end of right before Jerry Richardson sold the team, you know, with that public cloud of controversy hanging over him. But it's been a long time. Like, you right now, I think that they have, since the start of 18, they're only like a game or two behind the Jets for the worst record over that span. And, you know, anytime you're in the same conversation with the Jets, that's not great. And by the way, the Jets, the Panthers are at the Jets next weekend following this Cowboys game.
Something's got to give.
It's a good one.
Is it okay? So on the TV copy, Schlereth and the play-by-play guy that was all excited, they were calling him Leggett. I noticed you went Leggett Is there an official pronunciation we need to be aware of for this?
I think it is Liget. I just messed it up. Yeah. They call him XL for short.
Okay.
And the poor guy that even members of the people in the organization mess up the defensive coordinator's name down here. It is Ejero Avero, but people want to call him Evero, but Avero. He's an important, he's actually kind of a storyline Sunday too, because he came under fire last year. They had the league's worst defense. They were terrible against the run. Canales and Dan Morgan elected to retain him, and they have played better this year. Their defense is, they got Derek Brown back from injury. He's a heck of a run stopper, not super against in terms of a pass rush. If they give Dak a lot of time, even without CD and the other piece of this, the pass rush has been kind of, before last weekend, has been very moribund. But it also, they really struggle covering tight ends here. And Jake Ferguson is in the middle, as y'all know, of a historic type season for a tight end pass catcher. So there's another matchup to watch.
We just talked to Jake last hour. Hell of a guy. If you get a chance to talk to him in the post game, tell him we said hi and thank you, sir, for a fantastic job previewing these Panthers for us. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll try to catch up with you next time.
Sounds great. Y'all have a good rest of the week.
You too, buddy. Joe Person covers the Panthers for The Athletic here in the G-Bag Nation. Flagtober rolling on tomorrow. KNC Masterpiece going to be at Taco Bueno. We will be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday. Lucius is going to be with us. Saturday, Mansfield Hurtado, 10 to 10:30. Then Fort Worth Hurtado, 11:30 to 12. Hope you're taking notes. Of course, we'll be at the hotel, Highland Hotel in Dallas, 2 to 6. For Texas and OU. So we got a lot cooking here, and we got another segment of sports coming up. Isn't that right, Eric?
Yeah, we got a sports hodgepodge where we ask the question, is this the flimsiest, most useless college football report of all time? That's next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, see you tomorrow. Cold beers and cheeseburgers and Euless. Here's the Chief with some evening sports.
Can we just be honest and acknowledge that Walchuk looks damn good in those colors and in that hat? East Dallas Diesel bringing the Stars colors to the dome. And Walchuk, not too much of a hat guy.
Not much of a hat guy.
Think he might need to become one. I'm just spitballing.
Good luck.
Just spitballing.
Yeah.
And we have maybe the most useless college football report of all time, up to the minute.
But it's nothing North Texas related. Blackout tomorrow, by the way, if you're going to the game, make sure you're wearing black for North Texas.
I thought we were green.
We are, but we're wearing our all-black unis, which are our best-looking unis, with the green trim.
And the green piping.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I wish they'd break out the Mean Joe green uniforms. That's what I want to see.
Old school. I think they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We do have those in the alternate. Those helmets are pretty sick.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
All right. We'll give you the news right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. We no one's thousands. Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
The news we've all been waiting for. Will John Mateer play football this weekend?
Will he?
Sources. This is Pete Thamel.
Pete
Sam.
He's supposed to be one of the dogs.
Supposed
to be one of the dogs.
In the know, bro.
Sources. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer is in line to attempt to play against Texas on Saturday. Okay. Yeah, all right.
In line to attempt to play.
His injured right hand will be monitored, and there's no certainty he'll be able to go. He's listed as questionable. That's the report.
That's 50-50.
From the useless Pete Thamel. just trying to spit out crap that we already know. He's trying to play. We know he's questionable. We know it's up in the air. Thanks, Pete, for nothing. Back to you live in studio, Woolchuck.
So he added on to this, and this is really what should have been the tweet in the first place, because you're right. That is useless information that doesn't tell us anything we didn't know, Pete. But then he added that his pain level and grip on the ball are the two biggest variables. He did practice some this week as he's been pushing to return. That's something we can kind of use as new information.
Kind of, but I think we all imagine pain level and grip on the ball were going to be some of the things that matter.
But that he actually practiced, that's something. If he didn't practice at all, I think you can rule him out. I don't care about the questionable designation.
Yeah.
He ain't playing.
Not playing under center if he's playing.
That's also true.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much under center they even do anyway.
Yeah.
But definitely
I'm just
not.
Saying, I mean, you get down in goal line situations or whatever.
He's not playing.
Yeah. I don't. I'm just.
I'd be stunned.
I'm going to go on record and say I don't think he's playing. I don't have a. I don't have Gang of Seven in college. Well, now maybe I could. I'll tell you what I could do.
Do it.
Hit up Barry Switzer.
Yeah. I got a guy. I got a guy.
Tell him I said hi.
I got a guy, but I don't think he would tell me. I think he would say, "Ha ha, yeah, Brian, good to hear from you." I think if I sent a text,
and shoot your shot, man,
and he would know,
Right. Shoot your shot.
Yeah, shoot or shoot.
Let me shoot my shoot.
What about Carter, man?
Yeah, shoot your shoot.
Carter knows. I think Carter knows if he's playing. He is so connected in Norman.
That's true. He is dialed.
I mean,
that's why he leads Fan University.
He's in lockstep. Honestly, when I heard there was a Chipotle worker breaking news, I was like, Carter works at Chipotle? Come on now. All right, Rams and Ravens this week. Jared Verse, one of the best edge rushers in the sport, plays for the Rams. He was talking about if Lamar Jackson cannot play in the game, which it doesn't look likely that Lamar will be playing in the game.
Cooper Rush.
Quote, I'll be bleeping furious. He says that Lamar is on his sack bucket list. And so he needs that opportunity. Who's on your sack bucket list? 877-881-1053.
Just sack it.
The ladies' night? Well, dang right it is. All right, speaking of Rams, Ravens, let's go ahead and guess that spread. We started Zach Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Rams, Ravens, it's in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore.
Nooner for the West Coasters.
Me, Rams.
Flying across.
Rams 3.5.
Rams 3.5. Dawson?
Rams dose.
Brought us.
I was trying to text, so who the Rams playing?
Ravens.
Ravens.
Baltimore.
Rams.
Yes.
No Lamar.
This would go Rams. Rams. Minus four.
Rams minus 7.5. The Ravens suck that bad. No Lamar Jackson. God. It makes sense. Their defense is bad.
Yeah, they did just lose 44-10.
And it's no Lamar to Houston. Likely.
I wonder who had that as their Super Bowl matchup. What an
idiot. Gosh, what a schmo.
What a schmo. Feel good about the Rams, though. Not the Ravens.
Speaking of flying across country for a noon kick, the Chargers head to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Dawson, guess that spread.
Chargers in Miami to take on the Dolphins. Yeah. That is
that's a long flight.
The LA Chargers minus 2.5.
Broadus.
Chargers minus 5.
Wolchuk.
Chargers 3.5.
Chargers road favorites by 3.5. The Woolly Bully, you're on the board.
Nice work, Zach.
I got one. I'm just gonna stick with 3.5.
Breakfast ball in London where the Broncos taking on the Jets. Neutral site. Brought us, guess that spread.
That would be Broncos minus 5.5.
Dawson.
Make it 6.5.
Old Chuck.
I'll take Broncos by a touchdown.
There it is. Gavin Dawson's on the board. Ding, ding, ding. He nailed it.
That's freaking
Browns Steelers in Pittsburgh. Wolchuk, guess that spread.
Browns Steelers in Pittsburgh. I'm going to go Browns 5.5. Or excuse me, Steelers 5.5.
Wolchuk, or excuse me, Dawson.
4.5.
Steelers minus 6.
Wolchuk's back on the board. 5.5. He nailed it.
What a score.
How about the over-under in that game?
What two. Is it?
41?
38.5.
Ooh.
That's brutal.
That is bad.
No respect for Dylan Gabriel.
This one should be pretty good. Interconference play in Jacksonville. Noon kick. Seattle takes on Duval.
Longest trip you could have, I think, in the NFL.
No, it's got to be Seattle to Miami.
No, I did the one to Jacksonville. I've done this one. It was, yeah, you're right. 7 hours.
London,
it was 7 hours. I know I did that.
That's too long to be in a plane.
Yeah.
4 hour max.
Seattle's on the road in Jacksonville. Broadest guess that spread.
Oh, let's go Jacksonville minus 2.5.
Wolchuk.
Seattle. They're at home. Seattle's at home.
No.
I'm still going to go Seattle by one.
Dawson.
This is Jacksonville minus one.
Seattle is a 1.5 point favorite on the road.
Wolchuk's on fire, boy. Yeah.
He's crushing.
Look at him go. He's not paying attention, but he is on fire. Yeah. Disgusting.
Just give him the game.
Disgusting
game. Titans, Raiders. We don't even acknowledge it. We head to Tampa where they welcome in the Niners.
Why is it a pick 'em?
No, it's Vegas by 3.5.
Okay. Hey, Vegas by 3.5.
Two crap teams.
Let's go. Tampa's hosting the Niners.
Yeah, Dawson, guess
four
that spread.
4.5, Buccaneers winning.
Yeah, I like that. This is actually a really good one. I'm going to go Tampa by 3.
Broadus.
Tampa by 2.
Tampa by 3.5. You guys are all in the neighborhood.
Let's go.
All right, this one's funny. Bengals go to Lambeau. Packers off a bye. Oh, Joe Flacco getting the start. How big could this spread be? Broadus.
Flacco getting a start here at this thing?
Yeah, Flacco.
He's Green Bay coming off a bye. Yeah, no, this is Green Bay minus 6.5.
Dawson?
9.5.
Wolchuk.
Oh, I think this is the biggest spread of the week. Give me Green Bay 12.5.
Green Bay 14.5.
Ring that bell.
Can you imagine that offensive line arrested Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary? Coming in hungry, pissed off after that tie. Come on, dude.
NFL 17.5.
Joe Flacco.
Cincinnati's going to beat the crap out of him.
Strange lady.
This is going to be awesome.
Get the gurney ready, boys and girls.
Sorry, Micah.
The gurney game.
Don't be talking about injury like that.
Sunday night football. This is going to be fun.
Get us in trouble.
Mrs. McCaffrey.
This is going to be fun.
You male appendage.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He called me a wang.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Don't be a D.
Lions head to Arrowhead for Sunday night football.
This is the final stand for KC.
Hey, this might be
juicy.
One of those broadest watching Sunday night football moments because this is a damn good game.
Mark B on your Scantron for false.
Gosh, you're a bleephole. Dawson, guess that spread.
9 hours of Cowboy stuff to have to know.
Detroit minus one.
Well, Chuck.
Yeah, 1.5 just to be different.
For Detroit?
For the Lions, yeah. Well, no. Is it KC at home?
It is Arrowhead.
Okay, I'll go KC 1.5.
Broadus?
I'm getting flipped. I'm sorry.
Lions minus 2.5.
Wolchuk wins again. Kansas City's favored by 1.5 at home. And there he is.
What a joke.
With the sausage finger, index finger up in the sky.
Home cooking. Woo!
Football guy today.
Look at these Jimmy Deans, baby.
Why can't people admit Kansas City's not very good?
Yeah, can we walk around there and see if he's got it all pulled up in front of him?
I've got it all pulled up.
That would be pretty hilarious. I think he's been studying spreads for his BetMGM show or something.
Yeah. Well, I do a CBS Sports Weekly pick'em, and I haven't made my picks yet.
Wolchuk hasn't cheated since Spanish class in college.
And that didn't even work.
Okay.
No bueno.
How about this? We look at the NBA for a moment. Lakers star LeBron James sidelined for at least 3 to 4 weeks due to sciatica pain on his right side.
Can Hennessy help that out?
He will be out for the start of the season.
It was a nerve in his glute.
Glute nerve.
Look at that. I thought Redick was saying he was a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah, I guess
he's right. Got sciatica. That is old man time. That's shut it down.
That's
time.
When you need to retire. Maybe this should be the last season.
I had sciatica when I was like 17 years old in high school. Just really, really down bad.
You have a problem.
Yeah.
It's a horrible feeling.
Oh, it sucks.
And you're like, how is my leg going numb, but yet it aches?
Yeah.
Horribly bad.
Why does it feel like there's a sword going from my hip to my toes?
How'd you fix it, bro?
Surgery.
He just surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I had my disc was herniated so much. We tried for like 8 months, basically, all these different remedies to
stretching
avoid the surgery.
And all those weird things.
Yeah, they would put me in a decompressor that would literally pull your body apart.
Oh. Like Batman hanging upside down on those things?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like something like that.
I was thinking like last scene in Braveheart.
I did the injections.
Oh,
medieval torture.
Come on, bro.
None of it worked, man.
I mean, that's pulled apart. Yeah.
I don't know if I had sciatica. Mine was just more like I'd hurt my back so bad that one of my legs was going numb.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I went to the chiropractor, it got worse. I thought the chiropractor was making it better.
Oh, no.
But he would adjust me, and then like 2 hours later, I'd be like, wait. This is horrible.
That's bad news.
And then finally, I started paying attention and realized I should probably stop going.
All right, so we have the NBA GM survey.
Yeah. What about it?
Well,
they asked Nico.
Talk about useless information.
Yeah. Think these this is GMs useless?
Don't know a damn thing.
Well, Flags Rookie of the Year. Flags Rookie of the Year.
Jokic MVP.
97% of the GMs surveyed believe Flag will win the Rookie of the Year award.
They what else did they say? They thought that it was one of the more difficult teams to predict.
The Mavs.
The Mavericks are.
Yes.
Because of Kyrie Irving's situation and youth. And
wow, that's a stunning take.
Yeah.
Jokic for MVP, the best player in the league.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thunder repeating, of course.
Thunder got most of
the votes.
They
got everybody back.
Team to watch out for, I don't know, the Atlanta Hawks. Did I look at this?
You've been all over this thing.
Maybe.
The best player at each position, according to NBA GMs. SGA is your point guard. Anthony Edwards is your shooting guard. Luka Doncic? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that guy.
I think it's Don Cheech.
Plays small forward, apparently, and he's the best at his position. Giannis at the power forward and the Joker at center. Those are the best players at each position. Now, how about this? Who do you think they would vote for? Well, Chuck, this is not for you. Player they'd want taking the shot with the game on the line.
See, I didn't see this one.
Okay, then you can use your mouth and give an answer.
Can I use my mouth?
Yeah.
Give an answer.
Steph Curry?
Bang, dude. Mm. Look at that.
Gosh, wait a second. What? One of the greatest shooters ever?
It was Curry by a landslide.
SGMs, tell you what.
Then it was KD, Halliburton, Luka, SGA. That's how that voted.
Cardinal.
Who do you think they picked to be the best head coach in the league? Who is the best head coach in basketball, according to NBA GMs?
The guy they just named the Team USA coach, Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra got it.
Thank you.
Best defenders in the league? Wemby.
Cooper Flag.
Yeah. Lou Dort.
For the perimeter stuff, he got votes, but it's actually Dyson Daniels from Atlanta is the best perimeter defender in the sport.
Wow. Dyson Daniels.
There's somebody on Indiana.
He's a vacuum.
Who the hell is that?
Now, one of the things that people are monitoring.
He's a vacuum.
Brian Windhorst says the entire basketball world is bracing for this to be Giannis's final season in Milwaukee.
Oh, gosh. Maybe this will be like, hey, it's going to be the greatest offseason we've ever seen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He's going to the Knicks. Is it like pretty much Knicks or bust?
Is Woj coming back?
No, Woj is actually starting to do something. He wants to get recruiting going. NIL efforts at St. Bonaventure. He's going to do a YouTube series he's launching. So Woj is
so that's how they're
going to
get money?
He's going to try and get money, with this YouTube series for St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
So he's still all about it there.
He's coming back.
You going to click on that? You going to watch it?
They decided that Woj being their GM was not a good idea, so he's going to try to save it by doing a podcast for money.
Yeah,
It's whatever the series is that they're going to do. I think they're going to show practices, interview players, coaches. I don't have all the details, right? I'm not the St. Bonaventure insider, but that's what Woj is saying.
And finally, LeBron James is being sued by an angry fan who says he was duped into buying expensive Lakers tickets after viral second decision.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude spent like almost $1,000.
I mean, might be his final game still.
Hang on, those
still
tickets
could
be.
Fine. Yeah. Probably would be. I think if I got sciatica and they're handing the reins to Luka, I don't want to go anywhere else because I've fallen in love with L.A. I think this is it for LeBron. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Next chance to get a 2025 G-Bag Nation flag is tomorrow. Go see the KNC Masterpiece at Taco Bueno. See us at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. And then, Saturday, of course, you have the Highland Hotel 2 to 6, and I'm going to be at Hurtado's, both locations in Mansfield and Fort Worth. That's going, 10 to 10:30 and then 11:30 to noon on Saturday morning. Mansfield first, then Fort Worth, and I'll have plenty of G-Bag Nation flags for you. We're coming back to mix with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For you here on the Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jake Ferguson joined us back there at 5:35. If you want to go back and listen to that, it was another good one. I think that makes him like 6 for 6 so far here during this Cowboy season. But it's time now to hand off that broadcast baton. Here they are, Fred and Blake, the Fan After Dark. Gentlemen, how you doing tonight?
Based on that intro, I'm feeling exuberated. A lot of energy from our boy Gavin Dawson. Good vibes in here with you guys, as always. We're now 2 weeks in to full stretch. What's so funny, Fred? No, go ahead. Go ahead. Share with the
it's
class.
It's your exuberation.
Share with the class. Share with the class what's so funny over there, Mr. Hat. I'm ready today.
I think everybody knows.
Come on.
The audience is well aware of what's funny.
Come on.
We got extra credit tonight? We're going to try to spell that word?
No, we do. We do.
Spell exuberated?
Exuberated.
Use exuberated in a sentence.
You exuberate me every day.
I love it. What's coming up on the show tonight?
That's Fred.
Great question. Great question. We've got our boy Clay Benson. He's going to join us at 7:40, talking all things Carolina Panthers. Corey Mose is going to join us at 9:20. He's the sports director over there at KBUE. What the hell's going on with our boy Arch Manning? And you guys were talking about it today on the show, as far as this, you know, these Ricky rumors that he might be going somewhere else. Look, my gut tells me I think it's a slow news day. I don't think the Mannings are.
That's McDonald's, by the way.
What's that?
You said your gut was telling you something? It's the burgers.
Yeah, bro.
Your gut's correct.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Look, you guys should know by now if anybody can handle McDonald's. It's me.
You had a gut feeling call yesterday.
I think it'd be Brian. Brian's got the iron stomach.
Okay. Brian Broaddus?
I've never seen anybody be able to put like whatever in his body and he survives.
He's got a trucker's gut.
Yeah.
Except for soy sauce. That's the kryptonite.
That's true. And orange juice.
Orange juice.
Those juice. But
what did you just say?
And he just poops himself and he's good.
What, with the orange juice?
And the soy.
I think he said juice.
Ooh.
Anyways,
why are you guys looking at me?
I mean, if anybody can say it.
Normally, you know, we're in a sensitive time right now. Just say Jewish people, please. Thank you. Got a lot of hate going on.
Nothing but respect for you, Wolchuk.
I love you.
Appreciate you standing on business there.
You had a Ravel take yesterday, Fred. You want to share it with the class and kind of see what they think?
I'm not convinced he'll be back this season.
Oh.
Savone?
I think they're doing the right thing, being extra patient with them.
I'm not disparaging, you know, their process for how they're handling it, but I think the fact that we've heard next to nothing about him, and I mean, look, we've got guys coming back. We got 40-year-old guys coming back from Achilles injuries. This dude had an ACL, which, you know, I mean, didn't Ryan Flannoy come back from his in like 6 months? And I get it. Everybody's different. But we're now well over a year from this thing happening.
Wow, and September 20th.
We've heard nothing about Ravel coming back. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, look, if the guy needs the entire year to rehabilitate, you're going to get the best version of I mean, because at this point, what do you really think you're going to get out of him? You know?
Just to get him some playing time, just some reps.
If
Blander Diggs goes down, he'll play. I think if they stay healthy.
I don't dispute any of that. But
can he be better than Elam?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm a little concerned about the fact that, again, this is a 22-year-old kid.
No, I'm with you.
We're now a year plus into this thing. We're no further along. I mean, hell, Mingo and Carson are already, you know, in what, week two, week three, the 21-day window, and should be, you know, on the active roster here.
Mingo
within a week
didn't
or two.
Practice today for whatever reason. I don't know what's going on there.
What the hell are we doing?
Load management.
We'll have a full report on that tomorrow, won't we, Brian?
Yeah, I just texted something. I said, this was my text. I said, I have a coworker saying he didn't think that Ravel plays this season. Is he off base?
Hey, I love that.
Wait,
I
know that Dawson shut the hell up.
Let's go, Brian.
Remember when I said that the Rangers hitting coach should get the boot? What happened? 2-3 weeks later. He gone. I'm just saying, people.
Your
look,
gut
right?
is on fire, dude.
I'm saying the things.
Don't
people
call
are afraid
for my
say.
Job.
Hey, your gut on the Arch Manning story is good, though. I reached out to my Texas source, who's been right about everything for 3 years, and he said that's just a bunch of loud noise.
It's just not consistent with how they roll.
Okay. No.
Well, here they come. Fred and Blake, the Fan After Dark, 7 to 11. Join us tomorrow. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. We'll have your 2025 Texas Flag Edition, G-Bag Nation flag. You're going to love it. The grenade is back. It's the prettiest G-Bag Nation flag ever. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control here. Just went 5 flawless. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, live in Euless. Cold beers and cheeseburgers. You're going home with the nation. At ease.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.